I have a general rule with respect to my blog and the really silly shit I do on YouTube. The basic rule is, when it comes to people I know that I don't have the permission of, I don't generally talk about. I avoid that. If they're not public figures, if they're just personal, private people I know, I'll sometimes refer to a sister or a brother, a dad, a mom. But that's abstract enough. That's like, you know, Sopranos enough, you know, gangster enough that you get it. You fucking get it. I'm not actually, you know, naming names. I'm not a rat. So I avoid that. And that includes the fact that, yeah, I've only ever... I can't believe I'm talking about this. I've only ever, you know, had one girlfriend. I've only ever had one love so far. I've only ever been married once, and I've only ever had sex with 2.5 women. I say 0.5 because a friend of mine from high school, again, following the rule aforementioned, a friend of mine from high school and I and another friend of mine from high school, we went up to Vancouver in 1989, and we visited prostitutes, and I may or may not have gotten really drunk. And again, I was working for my dad back then, setting chokers, which means logging. And if you've never set chokers and worked up in the woods, you ought not fucking to judge. And you can shut the fuck up. But I was setting chokers in the summertime, and I was 19 years old, and I guess maybe I finally wanted to have sex, and I got that drunk. But I say 0.5 because I'm not entirely convinced I actually had sex with that girl. I think I mostly just jizzed in my pants and paid her like $200. Which, come to think of it, I could have done that at home at a much reduced price. But anyways, I can't believe I just told that story. The only other woman I ever had sex with, it was the first year of my relationship with my ex, and I was in this community Shakespeare, and it was this frankly stunningly beautiful woman. You know, my ex was beautiful too, so there's no way to compare the two. They were both beautiful. But this stunningly beautiful woman that I got kind of attracted to, I'd not been in a relationship before my ex, so it was like, shit. I think there was a lot of chemistry in that first year that was fucking with me, but you know, I'm not going to blame that. I take responsibility. But I also, in many ways, regret that decision to not just end that relationship then and there, because when you think about it, yeah, that's when you kind of know the truth, right then and there. You know the truth. Okay, so that was a lot of prologue, probably TMI on so many levels. To basically say that I like to sort of keep things abstract when it comes to people who are personal to me, because unless I have their permission, it's best not to name names. So I try to avoid that. But I have to go on a trip. Well, I don't have to. I'm going on a trip this weekend. I'm going to go visit my aunt and my uncle, who is very old now, and my cousin, who lives in Atlanta. So I'm going to Atlanta. My cousin teaches at the university in the area. I won't say more than that. And he teaches philosophy. I will say that. And, you know, excuse me. He's a brilliant guy. He's a very intelligent guy. In many ways, if I had a dream life, it would be the life he lives. But again, if you're honest with yourself and you're an adult and you've gotten at least as old as I've gotten, you know that kind of thinking is flawed too, because everything looks nicer from the outside in. Everything looks, you know, sort of cleaner. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to, you know, you go to the grocery store, and you especially if you go to the... to the meat section, you know, the meat and the poultry. everything's packaged, everything's clean, everything's nice, but you have to know there's a living thing behind those packaged items and that there was a slaughterhouse and terrible things happened. But everything looks nicer from the outside in. So when I say I admire the life he lives, I'm intelligent and adult enough to know that he's got probably his own challenges, and everything can often look nicer. I mean, I don't know. I hate cliches. I do. I hate platitudes. But the grass is greener thing has turned out to be true in my life because every time I looked for greener grass, I discovered it was actually browner. Oh boy. So I'm going to be having conversations, and it's sort of like, what do I say? I certainly have not been keeping up with the current theory, whatever the theory might be in the particular philosophical journal. I think some of them are called things like monad and stuff like that. The Journal of Southern Philosophy, I think that's another one. But I don't know what people are thinking about, deconstruction or reconstruction or endism or some other schemery. I think in the world of philosophy these days, there's all kinds of schemery going on. I mean, and I can't blame them for it because really, we're all singing for our dinner at this point. So you have to sing. You don't have a choice. You have to sing for your dinner. I sing for my dinner. I write code. That's what I do. That's how I sing for my dinner. But he's a brilliant guy, and I'm intimidated by it in a certain way. And also, it's all kind of complicated because he and I had some really painful conversations a number of years ago. People who follow my blog know that I'm a libertarian now. I am very sort of skeptical and cynical, and I question the libertarian leadership, but I am libertarian. I was GOP a long time ago. I was kind of that, I don't know, that George F. Will, Republican. George F. Will used to say he was a libertarian Republican, and I don't know. He seemed like a neocon over the years, but I used to consider myself a libertarian Republican. So in 2004, when I had a choice between what I think South Park happily described as a choice between a turd sandwich and a giant douche, I chose the turd sandwich. And I am not proud of that. I am not proud that I voted for Bush. I did. In 2004, I voted for Bush. I am not proud of that at all. So there are topics that become complicated. And on the one hand, you want to be honest with people you care about, and you want to be honest with family. But on the other hand, it's like, how do you explain to people the journey you've been on? How do you explain to people after so many years that you're not the person you were in 2006? And in all likelihood, the person that you met in 2006 isn't the same person either. And when I say this, I've seen this person since 2006. But those were briefer sort of sessions, if I can call them that. They were General Sullivan family type gatherings. And some of them were like, funerals and shit. Frankly, I don't want to talk about it. I mean, I've talked about my mom and my sister dying enough, and it's awfully depressing. And the other thing you need to understand is that this is a decent guy. So it's not like I expect him to attack me or something. It's not that at all. It's just that human beings often measure themselves in terms of other people. They often do. They often use other humans as a way of comparison, is the ruler. And I don't mean ruler as in leader. I mean ruler as in a rectangle with marks on it. There was a day and age where I wanted to be a philosopher, and I dreamed of it. And then there was a day and age where I thought, well, I'll become a soldier. And then I became horrified by it. And then there was a day and age where I really enjoyed writing computer code, and I kind of still do. But I'm kind of, I don't know, mortified by it at times. I mean, right now I have a good job. I work for somebody I really enjoy working for. But you never know what's going to happen. You never know what comes next. Anyways, I'm probably overanalyzing something I shouldn't even be really blogging about or vlogging about or audio logging or whatever the fuck, podcasting. And certainly not after consuming most of a bottle of Pinot Noir, which I think is completely inappropriate. But there was this time in my life, and it wasn't so long ago, when I really dreamed of one thing, and that is to simply think. And now I spend so much time trying to come up with ways not to. It isn't that I don't want to see the world or understand it or even know, and I do, and I see, and I understand. But there are times when I simply want the respite of a pause. Because I just don't even conceive of how any mind can take it all in and not simply feel perpetual sadness.